Amen. Well, we've been in a series called God's Great Mercy for Healing. We read, you don't have to turn there, we read Psalm 145, says the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. And we've said how healing is a mercy, and we're not going to go over everything. We covered the first two messages, but we went through several scriptures and show that healing is a mercy. Just we don't often think of healing as one of being mercy, but we saw how compassion and mercy are interchangeable terms, and that when Jesus was moved with compassion to heal, that was a mercy. So healing is a mercy. And God is great in mercy. And He is very compassionate. And He hasn't changed. So if He is compassionate yet today, and He's still full of compassion, and He's still full of mercy, then that means healing's for today. And so we went over how Jesus displayed mercy during His ministry on earth. And we're going to go a little bit further and talk about how God's mercy hasn't changed, hasn't been modified since Jesus rose from the dead. And it's still being manifested today. Praise you, Lord. Thank God. Let's turn over to John 16. John 16. Everybody there? John 16, verse 7. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you." So the word that is translated advantageous or to your advantage here, you know, in the King James it was expedient, and that word means profitable. So you can see that here, it means to your advantage. If something's profitable, it means it's to your advantage. You know, if you're running a business and it's not making any money, then it's not to your advantage to run the business. You're going through a lot of action and motion, but at the end of the day, you're losing money. Well, maybe you enjoy it, but it, you know, at the end of the day, it's actually not to your advantage. So profitable, here it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." And it's profitable that I go away. So Jesus was saying, it's profitable for you that I go away. So that means Jesus thought it was a good thing that He go to heaven, and the Holy Ghost or the Comforter would be given to man. In his book, Christ the Healer, F.F. Bosworth points out that Jesus going away could not be profitable, and thus Jesus' statement proved untrue, if His going away would withdraw or even modify the manifestation of His compassion in healing the sick. So now we looked at verses where the Bible says that Jesus, He was moved with compassion to heal. And we know that Jesus is the will of God, or when we see Him in the Bible, that's the will of God in action. In other words, God the Father's will was manifest through Jesus' actions. So if Jesus was being merciful and compassionate in healing, then that's God's will, and that's Jesus' heart. And He is the same, the Bible says, today, as He was. But Here Jesus said, it's profitable, it's advantageous for me to go and for the Comforter to come. And so what F.F. Bosworth is saying here, he says, if Jesus going away could not be profitable, if it wasn't advantageous, then if his going away would withdraw or even modify the manifestation of his compassion in healing the sick, it couldn't be profitable if that was modified. So if Jesus' compassion was modified, then that would mean it was a loss for us for him to leave. It wouldn't be advantageous. It wouldn't be profitable for us. He goes on to say, every man who teaches that healing is not for all who need it today, as it was in the past, is virtually teaching that Christ's compassion toward the sick has been at least modified since his exaltation. Worse yet, others teach that Jesus' compassion in healing the sick has been entirely withdrawn. To me, it is a mystery how any minister can take a position that veils and interferes with the manifestation of the greatest attribute of deity, God's compassion, which is divine love in action. So, if we were to say that somehow God's not as compassionate, or that he doesn't heal now, then we're saying he's not as compassionate as he was, saying that he's changed. He's no longer merciful, and that's just not true. He is just as merciful today as when Jesus was walking around on the earth doing the will of the Father. So why would Jesus be any less compassionate in his present day ministry as our faithful high priest than he was in his earthly ministry? Because he does have a present day ministry. You realize he's not just sitting in the clouds doing nothing. He is our high priest. Jesus is the same now as he was when he was on earth. He never changes. He's the same now as he was back then. So if he was gracious then, he's gracious now. If he was full of compassion then, he's full of compassion now. If he was merciful then he's merciful now. Why don't you turn over to Hebrews 2, verse 17. Hebrews 2, verse 17. Everybody there? It says, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, Jesus, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So notice the same Greek word translated merciful in this verse is also translated compassionate in other passages. We've already brought out that the fact that both the words merciful and compassion can be used interchangeably. Therefore, the Greek adjective translated merciful in Hebrews 4:17 could also be translated compassionate. Both of these words accurately describe Jesus, our high priest. So you could say that he might, it says, therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful or a compassionate and faithful high priest in all things. He's compassionate. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that Jesus, our high priest, understands what we're going through and has compassion on us. Aren't you thankful? He doesn't stand far off and just say, well, why don't you get it all together? He understands what we're going through. The Bible says that he understands we're dust. He understands where we came from. Turn down to Hebrews 4:15 there. You don't have to maybe turn. In my Bible, you don't have to turn. Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest who could not sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Here it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. In the King James, it says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The word, when we say cannot sympathize or touched, it says the same Greek word that's translated touched here in verse 15 is translated have compassion. Down, we're not going to turn there, but in Hebrews 10:34, well, let's turn over there. Just hold your finger here, because it's only two or three pages. Verse 10:34 says, for you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. When it says, for you had compassion on me, that's the same word that here when in verse 4:15 it says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize or cannot have compassion, cannot be touched. That's the same word. So we know that Jesus was touched with or had compassion in the feeling of our infirmities or our weaknesses. He's no less compassionate now than he was 2,000 years ago. So we see here, Jesus, because he went through what we've gone through, he has been touched or he has compassion or he sympathizes with our condition and with our weaknesses and our infirmities. In other words, he's not indifferent, he is compassionate. When he sees you and I, he's moved. He's no less compassionate than he was in these than when we read these other accounts earlier. So if Jesus is the same yesterday, or same today as he was yesterday, if he is the same now as our exalted high priest sitting at the right hand of the Father as he was when he walked the shores of Galilee, then he is full of just as much compassion now as he was then. That means that Jesus is full of just as much compassion and mercy today as he was when we read in Matthew 20 where he healed, when he departed from Jericho and two blind men cried unto him, saying, have mercy on us, son of David. He stopped and asked them, what will you have me do for you? And they said that we may receive our sight. And Jesus had compassion or mercy on them, and he healed them. We read that. It was in Matthew 20, 29 through 34. If Jesus is the same now as he was then he's still full of compassion. And the Bible tells us that he is the same now as he was when he was on the earth. Hebrews 13, 8. Just look at it, because it's all in Hebrews. So Hebrews 13:8, we quote it a lot, but go ahead and look at it since we're so close. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that true or not?
Yes.
Is that an ambiguous statement?
No.
It says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means he is absolutely as compassionate right now. Everybody say right now.
Right
now. Tonight.
Tonight.
As he was in all these accounts that you'll ever read in the Bible. When you see him move with compassion towards an individual, that is not far off. That's not something that's away, far away, that's like, oh, Jesus, he was moving on the earth then. We need to take it out of the past and say, Jesus has a ministry right now. He is just as compassionate. Remember, he said that it's profitable for you if he leaves. So right now, it's better for us. It's advantageous to us right now. So when we read those accounts in the Word, like some of the ones we've read, and you see him having compassion towards an individual, he is just as compassionate right now toward you, toward me, right now. Everybody say right now. This evening. He's just as compassionate. Brother Hagin says, you know, very often when he would tell people who want healing that the Lord wants to heal them even more than they want to be healed. He said most of them would look at him in astonishment when he said that. He said, I tell them, he wants you to be well more than you want to be well. He yearns to heal you. He said he asked individual people, do you believe in divine healing? And he said he's had born-again, spirit-filled people answer, oh yes, my church believes in divine healing. And he said he would tell them, just because your church believes in divine healing doesn't mean you're going to get healed. So they reply, yes, sir, I believe in divine healing. But then when he would tell them that God wants to heal them even more than they want to be healed, he said some of them, without thinking, would blurt out, oh, I wish I could believe that. People who are wishing that they could believe that the Lord wants to heal them don't really know that the Lord wants to heal them. So how can you get somebody to see that God wants to heal them? The Word. We got to get our thinking changed. We got to keep getting the Word in us. See, that's what's going on right now, is our thinking's being changed. We just keep pumping the Word in, and it registers on our hearts. See, some of us may have heard this years ago and for years. We may be like that, well, I believe in divine healing. But when we hear God wants to heal us more than we want to be healed, even though we may not say it, our reaction's like, oh, if that were only true. Well, our minds can be renewed to the fact that he is no different. He has not changed. Because of the Lord's compassion and mercy, he wants to heal us. He wants to heal you. Everybody say, he wants to heal me. Just because Jesus has been exalted doesn't mean he has lost or modified his mercy. The Bible doesn't teach that his mercy has been done away with or modified. Rather, the Bible teaches that God's mercy has been increased. John 14:12 says, verily, verily, I say to you that he that believes on me, the works I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The Bible doesn't teach that God has done away with any of his mercy, any of his compassion. The fact is, God wants to heal us more than we want to be healed. Just going to let that sink in. God, Jesus, wants to heal us more than we want it, than we want to be healed. God yearns to heal us. He yearns for that healing power to flow in us and be manifest in our lives. See, he's provided healing for us. But when it's been provided for us and doesn't come become reality, can you imagine you've provided something for a friend, or let's say you bought somebody a gift and it's there, but they won't receive it? And you want it for them, you've bought it, you've paid for it, it's sitting there, but you can't get them to take it? Or you really, have you ever had the feeling that you just really want, you just want to bless somebody? You want to, you know, maybe it was your mom or your dad or your sister or your grandchild or your son or daughter, and you bought something for them and you just couldn't wait till they opened it. You were just excited to give it to them. God is that way. He is so full of compassion and mercy, and He wants us to be healed and to receive His gift more than we want it. Everybody say, God wants to heal me more than I want to be healed. Everybody say it again. God wants to heal me more than I want to be healed. Say this. Say, He yearns to heal me. What Jesus has done is not automatic in our lives. Do you hear me?
Yes.
If it were up to Jesus, every one of us would be healed like this. But this is a misunderstanding that people have. Well, it's all just Jesus has done it. Jesus has already saved the whole world. But there'll be many that'll go to hell. Jesus has already provided healing for the whole world, but there will be many that die without ever receiving their healing. Mm-hmm. You understand? See, when we understand what He did, that's what causes what He already did to flow. In other words, He wants, when we say He yearns to heal us, He yearns to make it so in our life. He yearns for us to draw on it so His power will flow into us. We're not talking about the purchasing of it. We're talking about the receiving of it. And that's what we have to get as far as mercy. He's merciful. He's merciful. Everybody say, He's merciful. He's gracious. If Jesus were here right now in person, in bodily form, which He's not, He's not walking on the earth anymore. When He came back, He had a flesh and bone body. He didn't have a body like you and mine, not the one that'll decay. But when He walked on this earth, He flowed with compassion, and He's the same Jesus. Sometimes we get the idea like somehow He was out there and He was doing stuff for other people, but He won't. I don't know why, but you know, I know that, but there's this glitch that somehow He won't do it for me. But that's a misunderstanding. What we need to understand is He wants to heal us more than we want to be healed. He wants us well more than we want to be well. He wants us well more than we want to be well.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Right now, if we came in saying, oh, I would love this to happen, God actually wants it to be so more than us. So there is no problem. In other words, we're not trying to get Him into the notion of doing anything. It's not about trying to get God to do anything. It is just getting in the right frame to realize He's already provided this and wants to see it more than us, and that's what causes it to flow. Right now. That there is no block on his side. There is nothing that's withholding on his side. When you realize you're wanting something and he actually wants it more, then that means I don't have to try to get him to do anything. It'd be like, don't know exactly how I'm going to do this, but come here. If I'm trying to, let's say this is sitting here. Can you guys see this? If I'm trying to get that and I think I want it, but he's got a little bit more reach than me, but let's say I'm trying to get this and I can't quite reach it, but I really want it. And then I realize, let's say I got shorter arms than he does, and I realize he actually wants it for me more. See, now if I'm thinking he's like doing this, like try to pull me back. I knew that was going to happen. You keep your hand on it. There we go. Let's say I'm trying to get this. Now hold my arm. And I'm trying to get it, and I feel like somebody's pulling on me. I'm trying to get it, but I feel like I could get that if I could only get him to agree with me and to get it. If he would be going with me, I could get it, but I can't get it. But if I come to the realization that he actually wants it, he wants me to have that more than I want to have it, then number one, he's not going to pull on me. He's going to be pushing me toward it. And if he could get it, he's doing this. Trying to get it, he's doing everything he can to get it to me. That changes he's not, God's not our problem. He's doing everything in his power to get it to us. He's not withholding one single bit. That just takes that right out of the way. It's like, well, wait a minute. In other words, I don't have to try to believe real hard so that he'll do something. Wait a minute, he wants me to have it more than I want to have it. Okay, that changes the perspective. Now instead of I'm trying to get it, we just say, Lord, well, you already wanted me to have it. You already did it. Well, let that go then. We don't have a block. We don't have any kind of blockage. We don't have any kind of obstacle. You can be seated. We don't have an obstacle with him. We don't have, God is not at all standing in the way, and he's not withholding. So if the Lord wants us to have this more than I want it, then why would he ever pull it away from me or make me do anything or do anything that would make it hard for me to get this? If I understand that he's doing everything to try to get me to receive, that puts me in a different place. That'll cause me to relax. Be like, oh, Lord, you're on my side. You're not against me. You're not withholding from me. You're working with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're working with me. Praise you, Lord.